Yes, love was born in Bethlehem. Love like mankind had never known. Love that would soon transform the world. On the night that Jesus was born, there were very few who knew his true identity. Mary, Joseph, a band of shepherds, a very small group of people, yet all of the inhabitants of heaven knew exactly who he was. And soon the world would realize who that manger really held. He's the one who holds the stars, made the heavens and the earth. He made the day 1,000 years, created with his word. He formed the awesome galaxies, spoke, and there was light. But he laid down his royal crown as the angels watched that night. When he came all this way with arms open wide, all the way from glory to give abundant life. It's hard to imagine from heaven's throne he came all heart is home. Now all of heaven watched as he released his crown, as he stripped away his kingly robe and began to journey down. To think that God would shrink himself into the Milky Way, reducing to the time of men to fit within our day.
Titus chapter 2 today. I know typically when you refer to Titus, you're talking about sound doctrine, and Paul was writing to Titus who left on the island of Crete there, and you read about the Cretans, and The fact that they were known to be liars and they were a very wicked society and they were tend to be called lazy and all these things. And folks, I want to tell you, while we look at that and we look down on that, we live in a time in America today where many could even say that about those in America, that they are not always truthful. They're not always willing to do the work. Well, a lot of times we like to hire things done rather than do them ourselves. We joined a neighborhood app, and I'm thinking we're going to be warned about those who are trying to do harm in the neighborhood and to be on the alert for people trying to break into homes or steal things from your cars or steal your mail and those kind of things. And 99% of what I see go through there is someone's lost a cat or a dog, or they want to know somebody that can do plumbing or do something to come do work for them because they either can't do it, don't want to learn how to do it, or they're too lazy to do it. Just to be perfectly honest. I mean, even to yard work and wanting them to come and do things where they could normally go out and do it themselves, but they just don't want to. And so I want to say that in saying that, I don't want to be harsh today, but I think a lot of times as parents, we can be lazy too. And when we're lazy as parents, we do a disservice in our worship of the Lord Jesus Christ. We do a great disservice to our children in allowing them to somehow begin to do the things that they want to do that are of the flesh, rather than continuing to stand firm in the faith and upon God's word. As I shared with you last week, you know, the children are our most precious commodity that the Lord gives us to steward over. We know that we are to be stewards over the things within our life within this world. But the greatest privilege, but yet the greatest responsibility, is our children and our grandchildren. And so the challenge today is that if you've raised your children, as I look out, there's a lot of you here that have children that have already had children and grandchildren. Is many of you are involved in their lives and helping raise these grandchildren and great-grandchildren. That's a great thing to see. Grandparents engaging and loving and teaching their grandchildren and their great-grandchildren the truths of God's word. Not just because mom and daddy both work and you're trying to help out, but because you love them and you're concerned about their well-being and you're concerned about the fact that they would know Christ and walk with him. You know, we can put them in Christian daycares, we can put them in other places, nothing wrong with those things, but there's something about a grandparent or a parent taking the time to invest in the life of those children that makes a greater difference than those that are just paid to watch over them. It's kind of like in the church when someone is called to be a shepherd versus a hireling that comes just for the pay and just for the position as a job. You can tell the difference right away. And with that, the great nurturing and the things that take place and encouraging others to grow and challenge them to grow in their walk with the Lord comes from those who love the Lord, those who are serving the Lord, those who are growing in the Lord themselves and want to see other lives change. So as we begin to look this morning, just as a way of reminder, there's two main components to raising godly children we talked about last week as we talked about training your children in the overview of what we're going to be doing in our study. Is the first thing is to love them unconditionally. And the second is the discipline of a misbehaving child consistently and appropriately based on the age and behavior determine the type and severity of the discipline. You know, we have to be very careful that when it comes to the matter of discipline, that we don't discipline in the flesh and in anger, but that we spend some time alone with the Lord and we do so in a manner appropriate to the misbehavior that's taking place and the age of the child and what's necessary to get their attention, just like the Lord does with us. As he disciplines us in different ways at different times, depending on the sin that we have committed and our disobedience and our diving off in the flesh and our wanting to live for ourselves rather than living for him. And he chastens us or disciplines us to get our attention. And so as we look at this study today, a lot of you think, well, this is kind of an odd place because it's talking about men and women in the church. And there's going to be a meeting Tuesday night at Anitra Brown's house with the ladies, and they're going to be gathering together, and their purpose of that is trying to really come together and pray about ministry through the church and growing in relationship with the Lord and with each other. But I want to tell you, it's a great place to apply what we're talking about today. Is that the older men teach the younger men and the older women teach the younger women. And it goes on from those that are adults all the way down into our youth and our children. So what I'm challenging some of you that are older is, and we have a lot of you that work with our children and our youth, but if you're not working with them, I want you to begin to pray now as the Lord speaks to your heart that you would be open and willing to do what he calls you to do. And I hear a lot of times folks is, well, I just can't get down the floor with them. Maybe God's not asking to get down the floor with them, but just sit in a chair and rock some babies. Maybe it's a matter that he's asking you to sit in a chair and just talk with them or listen to them as they share scripture verses they've memorized at home in Awana as they're teaching, they're learning God's word, and you're reaffirming to them the blessing it is to hear that. So it's not even that we're asking you to necessarily think about doing the most strenuous exercises and maybe say, well, I'm not physically able to do that. But with our heart, if it's committed to the Lord, we can do many things that we want to do that we might not do otherwise if we don't want to do. And the first thing I want to talk to you about is the older men is in verse 2 of chapter 2, he says in verse 1, but as for you, talking to Titus, speak the things which are proper for sound doctrine, that the older men be sober, reverent, temperate, sound in faith, in love, in patience. The older women likewise, that they be reverent in behavior, not slanderers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things, that they may admonish the young women to love their husbands and to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, homemakers, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God may not be blasphemed. Now, as we're reading this, he's going to touch on four groups of people, older men and younger men, older women and younger women. Now, I'm not going to go into, like I have done in times past, and exegete every section of every instruction he gives you, but for the purpose of raising godly children, what I want to get into today is the fact that he's speaking to older men first, but the thing that's going to be consistent and the key to this scripture is that we are to be self-controlled. Now, he's going to mention that in one form or another to every group of people that he's going to speak to, these four groups. And it's a good word to all of us, is to be self-controlled, level-headed, to be sober-minded in all that we do. Always remembering who we are as children of God and who we represent is that we represent the Lord Jesus Christ as ambassadors for Christ in everything that we say and everything that we do. So that as we're out in the community, we're not out there in such a way that we're telling coarse jokes and things that would in some way dishonor the Lord Jesus Christ as bride, the church, but also would also turn away parents from wanting you to have any involvement with their children as well. You know, when we are teaching children, quite often we may be talking with another adult or we're doing something and we don't even realize that we're being watched and they're listening as closely as they are and paying attention. They may be coloring over there and you think that they're not paying attention. They're not hearing what you're saying or they don't see what you're doing, but you'll be amazed later when a child comes back and tells you, you did this. You know, now think about the fact that they imitate us, and that's what Paul is teaching here to Titus, is that the older men should be examples to the younger men, and the older women should be examples to the younger women. You know, as I think about the meeting that will take place on Tuesday, there are times that it needs to be more or less ladies only. There are times it needs to be men only. There's times where it needs to be mixed with couples, men and women, that we can grow together as couples. But when I think about our children in relation to that is, a lot of times is, well, I don't have anybody to watch them. We haven't established a group of people or a time or set up anything yet to do that. But let me just say this. If that becomes a problem, you let us know and we'll try to work around that too, because we don't want excuses about why you can't participate or why you're not going to participate. We want everyone to have the opportunity to participate. Ladies, if you would like to be at that meeting and be a part of it, to be able to go and to know your children are going to be taken care of. Fathers, that's first your responsibility, to clear your schedule to allow that to happen. We don't have a problem with that when it's a ball game and we want to go play ball or we want to go hunting or we want to go do something that we like to do and she sits home and watches the kids. So I'm just challenging you there first. But the other thing is, through the church, we can do that through our younger men and older men to help watch children for an hour, hour and a half or so, for the wives to be able to meet and to grow and to be challenged in a relationship with the Lord. But let me just say, too, there will be times when you will want to take your teenage daughters, or you want to take your younger daughters, ladies, and that you want to expose them to what you're hearing and to be challenged in the same way. That's how you mentor. That's how you teach them to love the Lord, first of all, to love the Word of God, to love the Bride of Christ, the people of God, and to want to be together and to worship. You see, we live in a time today where we're more or less in a situation where most people come to church with the idea of, I'm coming for what's in it for me. I'm coming because I'm going to get something out of it, or I'm going to get something that I desire or I like. Whether it's music or Sunday school or a sermon or whatever it may be that just really you like in a certain fashion. But let me just say this, that's not the reason to come to church. It's not the purpose of church. The reason we come as followers of Christ is to acknowledge our Lord and Savior as first and foremost in our lives, and then also that we worship together as the body of Christ. And I tell you, it's a blessing when I see some of our young seniors engaging some of our young couples and building relationships together and loving on them and their children as well, and desiring to be together. I mean, as I look around now, there's mixed couples all around of different ages and different tables. And I see some with older and some with younger, but I see mixes of people too and ages, cross-generationally. And a lot of times the way we do Sunday school is we send children in one direction, we send women in one direction, men in a direction, or couples in one direction, and we separate. But there has to be places and times where we come together cross-generationally for the purpose of getting to know each other, for one, and loving each other, but also learning from one another and learning about the Lord Jesus Christ and drawing closer to Him as well. And so Paul is challenging that with Titus here, and he says that the older men be sober or self-controlled. Now, when he's talking about being self-controlled, he's talking about the fact that they have their passions, their desires, their lives in control and self-control and surrender to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. According to the Word of God, they're trying to live lives that identify with and make it clear to everyone that they are a follower of Christ. That they may be out in and about in the world, but they don't live directly in the world. That's not where their focus is. Their focus is upon the Lord. The focus is upon witnessing and teaching others to know Christ as their Lord and Savior. And I want to tell you, our behavior says just as much, if not more, than what we say with our lips about who we are in Christ and what we believe and how our lives are lived. And, you know, I look around here and I see many of the men who are seniors that serve in so many ministries. But I also hear the fact, too, that a lot of times you would love to be able to pour into some of the younger men and tell them the things that how God worked in your life as you were their age and ways that you failed or you stumbled, and to warn them from those things, to follow the way of God and to remain faithful in those things and not be led by the things of the world. And that with that, they would be accountable. They would be those who are growing, and they would turn around and teach this to their sons, and you would have a part in that. I love to hunt. One of the things I love to do as a hunter is I love to take young boys and teach them about hunter safety, about gun safety, about the opportunities of being out in God's creation. And the time of the blessing it is, it's not all about the kill and all those things. It's about enjoying the beauty and the majesty of this creation, even though it's marred by sin. But as we have those opportunities to talk about those things, we get an opportunity to talk about our Creator, talk about the Lord Jesus Christ. And so I love those opportunities that we can talk about what's most important in our lives, and who's most important in our lives is Jesus, and to be able to share with them the gospel. But it starts through building relationship and doing things that they're interested in, doing things they like to do, and taking that commonality and building on that with the intentional desire to witness to them that they might know and come to Christ. And it's an awesome thing to see that happen. But as Paul is writing here, he's challenging that the men be sober and sound in faith. And he's telling them they would do so to be a pattern or an example, as we'll read here in just a little bit. As he challenges the women in verse 3, he says, the older women likewise, that they be reverent in behavior, not slanders, not given to much wine, teachers of good things. As he's saying reverent, he's saying another way too of being respectful and being in awe of the Lord, being reverent to those around you. You know, when you think about, Paul was challenged a group of people that there was many wicked things taking place with adulteries and all kinds of things happening. And so he's beginning to challenge about the nucleus of the home in the church and in the home of those who are committed to Christ to be different from those that you live next to and around, in such a way that you can point your children to the Lord, but also you can point your neighbors to the Lord in witnessing to them. And so as he is challenging the ladies, he says, be reverent or be self-controlled. Now notice what he teaches them to do. He says, not slanders, not given to much wine, teachers of good things. Now a lot of you sit here and say, well, preacher, I'm really not a teacher. I want to talk to you here. He's not talking about getting up in front of a large group of people necessarily. It could be. But what he's really talking about here is that in those one-on-one teachable moments and opportunities with your children and as older women with those younger women in small group settings like what you're going to be experiencing on Tuesday night, is that as you're going through those, that there is where the older women need to be engaged in being reverent or self-controlled, but yet at the same time, intentional in teaching good things. I want to ask you, what is the good things that Paul's referring to them about? And he tells us very clearly what it is, those good things. Or he says that they should admonish the young women to love their husbands and to love their children. Do you know this is the only place in the Bible I can find where women are told to love their husbands? You see, men, we're told quite often that we need to love and we need to protect and we need to provide for and we need to try to be willing to die for them if necessary. We're challenged over and over again that we need to love our wives. But this is the one place where the Lord challenges that women are to be told to love their husbands and to love their children. And you know why? Because I think innately, you know, when you look to Adam and Eve and you look at the fall and you see where he says, you'll be under the rule or the reign of your husband and you'll go through the pain of bearing children. In other words, you're going to want your husband, but he's going to rule over you. And what that is that she desires her husband. The wife typically desires her husband, wants her husband. But also when you've birthed children and everything, one of the most precious and tender things we see is newborn mothers in their nurture and their love and their care for their children. And you know, it's not always easy and fun as, you know, babies get sick. Sometimes they vomit. Sometimes they have diarrhea. Sometimes they have all these things. You think, man, I know a lot of saying, thank you for mothers today because you weren't the ones cleaning up behind those babies. If you were, Lord bless you and thank you. But here's the thing, that mother and all that filth and all that nastiness cleans up and takes care of that baby and loves on that baby because that baby's a part of her. And she knows that. And she would die for that child. You know, it's a beautiful picture really of the Lord towards us as we've been rebirthed and how he did die for us. But yet how he is constantly forgiving us and cleansing us too when we humble ourselves and confess our sin to him. And we too are often like those babies, is that we just spew sin and putridness and ugliness all over. And yet the Lord constantly, when we humble ourselves and confess our sin, he forgives us and he cleanses us and he restores us as well. But here the women are told, the older women are told, tell these younger women, love your husbands. Be faithful. Be committed to your husband. Be a one-man woman. Be committed to him for life. You know, as I was researching and studying, I'm going to tell you this real quickly, is that for the older men, it said generally those about 40 to 45 and older were considered starting to be the older men. So some of you sitting around here crowing in your youth, they were talking about you being a little bit older. And I think it was maybe because most of the writers were men, is they did not even discuss an age for older women. Just when you get there, you know, you get to where you can't read and you go to the doctor and he says, well, you might just need to go and get you some of those reader glasses over here in the pharmacy. It's a nice way of telling you you're getting a little bit older. But, you know, when you think about that, is you can look around you as you're sitting here today and you can see ladies that you have a great respect for and that you have seen and met some of their children that are grown, some of them older than you now, that you see that they have had children, they've raised godly children, and maybe you just want to, you see their godly ladies and maybe you just want to say, can you help me in this area of my life? Because I see that maybe you weren't perfect and you didn't have it all together, and I'd expect that. But I see that you're a godly woman, and I need direction here, and I need your prayers, and I need your help. Ladies, maybe you need to go to some of these young ladies and you identify with things you're seeing in their child raising and things that's going on in their lives, and you're saying, I identify with them because I live part of that in my life. Maybe you just need to go to them and say, hey, can we just meet for a cup of coffee and or just get together and talk a little bit and pray? And how can I pray for you? And build a relationship with them and begin that process of discipling them and teaching them. And it's not a, when you're teaching and discipling, it's not a I'm telling you what to do and I'm telling you what not to do. The best way to do that is just to go back to the Word of God when something comes up. And refer to them, well, this is what the Word of God speaks to us on that. And let that be our source of authority, is God's Word and the Holy Spirit to be our teacher to work together. And not to be the authoritarian on things, because none of us know everything and none of us are perfect. But we serve a perfect Savior who does know everything, and we're filled with the Spirit who teaches us, and with that, through the Word of God that we've been given to instruct us, and we can come together and seek those things out. One of the things I love more than standing here preaching to you at all is to be able to meet with people either one-on-one or in small groups and to begin to just really get to know them first of all and then begin to study God's Word, begin to address areas in our lives where we know that we need help. And if we're sitting here today saying, well, I don't know what that preacher's talking about, I don't need help, you need to be at the altar here in a little bit because you're deceiving yourself. All of us need the help of the Word of God and the Spirit of God in our lives, and we need the people of God also to be a part of our lives in helping guide us and direct us and challenge us, sometimes even to rebuke us in the things that we're doing or not doing and the things that we say and the way we treat one another. You know, one of the things that I more than often confront men about is the fact that how they speak to their wives or how they treat their wives and their children. You see, because if you want to raise godly children, you need to be growing in your relationship with the Lord, but you also need to be growing in relationship with your spouse. And the best way to do that is that you're doing that together, but also you're doing that with others of the same sex to be able to learn from them, being mentored, and then turn around and mentoring your children or discipling them so that they too can see that example, not only taught them verbally, but they can see it lived out in the home. You know, you can be one way when you come to church, and you might even fool most of us. But the thing about it is, you're not going to fool those you live with in the home every day. And you're certainly not going to fool God. So the thing about it is that we just try to be open and transparent with one another. And I think we hear a lot of times we talk about discipleship, and we talk about mentoring, we talk about building relationships. I've been hurt before. But you know what I think about how in your own relationship with your spouse, they have hurt you at times, but you didn't just walk away from them because they hurt you with what they said or didn't say or what they did or didn't do. You just address the matter lovingly and you move forward and you learn from those things. Well, it's the same thing in those kind of relationships we're talking about, is there will be times that we will disappoint each other, times we may even hurt one another. But you have to be willing to make yourself open and vulnerable to be ever have that opportunity to happen. But let me just say, too, is quite often what happens is you're challenged in ways you've never been challenged before, and you begin to grow in ways you've never experienced before in your walk with the Lord. So long as the focus is upon the Lord and His Word and His Spirit and not just our personal opinions and getting into things of the world. And so Paul is challenging here that Titus should challenge the ladies to admonish the young woman to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet and chaste and homemakers. You know, we live in a time today, if you read the Bible, you understand that each one of us, male and female, have roles within the church and within the home and within society. And we live in a time today where there's a great confusion among children about what does it take for a man to be a man or a woman to be a woman. I mean, we're seeing with all the transgender and all these LGBT things, all these things that are coming out, that more and more people are absolutely confused about who is a man and who is a woman and what does it mean to be a man or me a woman. And I know I'm older and I struggle with this because I don't fully understand this. I never had a question about that from the time I was a kid. I was around my grandfathers. I was around my uncles. I knew who men were and what men did, what was expected of men. But I want to tell you this, though. We live in a time today when there are many children being raised either by single parents, single grandparents, mostly ladies, and the dads are not involved. The grandfathers are not involved. Men, that's why I keep challenging it. When we bring kids here on the van, when they come and they don't have a parent here in this church and they're not connected in those ways, that's why I challenge that we engage them and we build relationship with them and we love on them and we treat them as young men and we do so acting as a godly man. You know, as I was reading and studying, I was talking about a hospital in the 19th century, and it was one of those hospitals where it was an orphanage and that was there, and the kids were brought there more or less to either languish until they could get old enough to get kicked out on the street because they think they're old enough to be out on their own, and or either they would just die. And a lot of the kids, because they were getting taken care of their physical needs but not really emotionally and spiritually, and those ways of trying to love on them or share and emulate love to them in any way, many of them were dying. So the janitor, a lady who worked on the night shift, asked the supervisors, would it be okay if I just put a sling over my shoulder and put a baby in there, just rock that baby and love that baby and just see if it makes any difference in their lives, because I can't stand cleaning here and knowing that one after another is dying and nobody ever shows them any love, no one ever shows them any affection. All you do is make sure they got food and that otherwise they should be fine physically. And they're dying. But what happened was when she began to love on that child and pour out affection to that child went from one who was languishing to one who was thriving, and that child grew healthy. And other children she loved on them began to get healthy. You see, children need and want love. People need and want love. You see, it's built into us from the very beginning. We really are designed the love of God. And many don't understand the love that they're looking for. But let me just say, too, is another study was done of 13-year-olds who became pregnant. And men, I want to speak to you just a moment because some of you have daughters out there. I raised a son and a daughter. I've told you before, it's different in how you raise them in some ways just because of the nature of the way they are. They can be, they're totally different in so many ways. But I want to challenge you this morning is to start pouring into your daughters. First of all, telling them you love them verbally, but showing them you love them. Hug them, hold them in right and pure ways, just like the Lord wraps his arms around us when we're hurting or we're not sure what's going on and we just want to know that we're loved, and to feel that presence of the Lord as he's wrapping himself around us, that you do that with your daughters. Because you see, most of them that have become pregnant said they desired that from their fathers, but they never got it. And so they went and had illicit sex with these young boys, these young men who told them they loved them and told them a lie because they were desiring just to be loved and hugged and to be feel that physical presence of knowing that someone loved them, knowing that a father loved them. And ladies, if you're here today and you've never experienced that, there are hurts and pains there. Know that our Heavenly Father loves you. He will wrap his arms around you. You know, I'm a hugger. Nothing sexual towards other ladies, anything, but I love my wife. Love my daughter. But sometimes you just see countenance change on people when somebody just comes, you just give a side hug, just hug somebody and say, we love you in Christ. You don't know what they're going through in that day. But let me just say this to you, ladies, older ladies. A lot of times when they get out of this car here and they wrestle with kids and trying to get them to nursery and they're running late and all these things going on, you don't know what all's going on in the house. Sometimes it's good just to come up, hug them and say, I remember those days. It'll get better. They'll be able to dress themselves. They'll be able to feed themselves. You can set alarm clocks. Later they'll set them themselves. All these things will happen. But just encourage them and mentor them and pour into them in every way you can. But it can start with a simple relationship like that. And the last part of challenging is a young man. I kind of combine Ephesians 5:25 with verses 7 and 8 here. It's verse 6, he says, likewise exhort the young men to be sober-minded or self-controlled. There's another way of saying this again. In all things, showing yourself to be a pattern or example of good works. In doctrine, showing integrity, reverence, and incorruptibility. Sound speech cannot be condemned, that one who is an opponent may be ashamed, having nothing evil to say of you. You know, young men, is that we are on guard in a sense of our speech and our behavior, that we're not going off and goofing off in such a way that we hurt the cause of Christ and we dishonor him or our families. I want to tell you a word to the men. As I know, a lot of times in our pride and our egos, we love our wives, but we don't always realize how hurtful sometimes our joking and our words, even our fooling around trying to be funny, can be hurtful to your bride. Ladies, you should never, ever speak against or about your husband in a way negatively before your children. Men, you should never speak about your wife in a way negatively before your children. But let me just say this too, when you read other couples or friends or whatever too, and you want to kind of be funny and you want to kind of pick at them a little bit, be very careful. Because the things you say in jest can be some of the most hurtful means of things that happen against your bride. Because you're supposed to be her protector. And you're not protecting her when you leave her open to speculation of whether she's competent or not, or whether she's a good homemaker or not, or whether she's a faithful wife or not, or any of these things that it could be that you open the door up on. So I would tell you to cherish your bride, to love her. You want to be a good father, and you want to set a good example to your daughters, love their mother and show them how a man should treat their mom and the way that they should be looking forward to someone who's going to treat them in that same Christ-like manner. And I remember my daughter, we did True Love Waits. I gave her a promise ring. When she turned 13, I put on a suit and tie. I made a reservation, a nice restaurant. We got her a nice dress. I got her flowers. I said, we're going to go on a date tonight, on a father-daughter date tonight. But I want to teach you how any young man who comes to this door saying, I want to date Aaron, should treat you. And if he fails, you need to not go out with him. Because if he doesn't love you and respect you for who you are, he doesn't truly love you. If he's not willing to go that extra mile to make it clear his care for you, his willingness to protect you, to provide for you, he's not a candidate for someone you want to date. He's not a candidate for someone you want to consider to marry. You don't need to just date to go out and have fun. The only time you really need to date is you need to begin to look at, are they a potential godly husband, a godly father? Are they someone who's going to be with me and be with our children and pouring into them? You know, men, it's a great responsibility being a head of a household, as a spiritual leader. It should not be left up to the mom to teach them about the birds and the bees. It shouldn't be left up to mom to teach them about the Word of God and to discipline them and to do all these things. Those are your responsibilities given to you by God. Mom has her role and her place, absolutely. I want to say to the moms too, because what can happen too is a little girl just wraps daddy around her little finger. But then the boy comes along and he just steals mama's heart. Is you also have to enact the same discipline with boys in that corrective action appropriately and consistently as you do with girls. Because with the mom, it can be, you know, that's my baby or that's my little boy or I love him. It's so hard to do this. But let me just say this. The Lord treats us all equally at the foot of the cross. We're all sinners until we confess our sin to him, and he gives us salvation as we repent of our sin and turn to him, and he saves us. But at that moment, our sin is the same whether you're male or female in the sense of God, is sin is sin. But he loves us all the same as well. And he disciplines us consistently the same whether male or female. But you know, as I'm talking about these things, I'm speaking to mostly parents today. Because you can have no clue of raising godly children if you're not living a godly life committed to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. Maybe as we're coming to a close today, you just need to say, Lord, I want you, me and my wife to come down. We just need to pray. Maybe we just need to recommit, first of all, ourselves to you and to your bride, the church. You see, we live in a time today when many couples and many families can put all these things before coming together and worshiping in church. Because again, it's more about that mentality of what do I get out of it? Lord, what are you going to give me today? How are you going to bless me today? Rather than, Lord, thank you for saving me. I love you as my Lord, my Savior, my Redeemer. I want everyone to know that I love you, not just because I'm in church today. But I want it to be every day of my life as I'm committed to you and walking with you that people know and say there is a godly man or there is a godly woman because there's something different about them. That difference is that walk we have with the Lord, the Spirit of God dwelling within us. When that kind of transformation begins to take place, like it talks about over in Romans chapter 12, verses 1 through 4, is with that renewing of the mind and that transformation is beginning to take place, is it changes your whole perspective on your relationship with your spouse. It changes your relationship about the leadership roles in the home. It changes your perspective about your children, where they're going to be and who their youth groups are going to be, whether it's going to be a travel team out here somewhere, what it's going to be, or what it's going to be. We're going to be in the house of God studying God's Word together. You see, those things are important. That's what causes your children to understand the relevance of God being first in your life. I love sports. And I say love, you know, it's one of those, I should say I like sports. Played a lot of sports. I watch sports. But let me just say, is it pales in comparison to my love for the Lord Jesus Christ who died for me and who saved me, who saved my wife and saved my children. And I pray for my grandchildren. And for him, I will go anywhere, do anything. And I don't care what's going on around. So we was talking earlier about that, some kind of game going on tomorrow. A lot of you have been talking about it. It's been all over the news. You know, I'm a Tiger fan. But should they lose tomorrow night, I won't be broken. I won't be crying. I won't be decimated or destroyed. Because the sun's still going to come up, whether it's raining or not, on Tuesday morning. Our Lord's still going to reign and rule. And there's still people out here that need to hear about Jesus. A lot of them pull for them chickens and others, you know, bulldogs and others. But here's the thing. They need Jesus just like I've received him. And with that, we need to humble ourselves and forget about all this other mess and go to them. You know, when we're looking at building relationships and mentoring, we laugh about those things and teams we pull for. You don't have to always align in every area in those ways. But I'm talking about where you align in the things of God and the Word of God and the Spirit of God. That's the most important thing. Pray for the fact, who could I pour into and help mentor if you're older as a man or woman? What young man or what young woman could I love on and pour into their family and be a blessing? Or young person, begin to pray about what lady or what man is a godly man or woman here that I can go to and say, can you pray with me and help me in these situations or this circumstance that you can build relationship and trust with? And through that, this body of Christ will be strengthened. But through that too, your families will be strengthened. And you're teaching them that we're not in this world alone. You know, you hear that old saying, it takes a village to raise a child. Let me just tell you, that's a lie if you're talking out in the world. It takes the family of God coming alongside you, you and your family. And we've made that commitment when many of them have been dedicated as children, that we're going to come alongside you and help with those things. And we will. Part of it is your faithfulness to be here too, because we can't pour in them when they're here 2 hours a week and out in the world 162 hours a week. I mean, we have to be able to meet together and come together for those purposes. And one of the ways to do it too is we're serving together in these roles, as we saw earlier, where there's places needed for servants to serve. Is that there you can take your children a lot of times too and teach them that servanthood and what it means to use your gifts and talents as you're mentoring, discipling them, teaching them to fill those roles. I love it on Sundays when we see our young men go up and grab that plate and come back down. And it used to be they were almost fighting over it, and I don't want to see fights over it, but you know, there was excitement to want to be participate in that. I got saved at almost 22 years old, and it was a long time before they even said, so-and-so's out today sick. Would you mind trying to help us just take up the offering today? Not even to say the prayer, but would you just pass that plate? And boy, I was thrilled to death to be able to go and help. Because for the longest time, I'd just been said, just sit on the pew and listen. That's not discipleship. Discipleship's taking people and getting them involved, teaching them, showing them, and giving them opportunities. You heard he was saying, I gave him responsibilities, and I was teaching him. And a lot of times he's teaching privately and then letting him teach publicly in ways like that so that he's growing. That's discipleship. But if you notice, that missionary was a good bit older than him, and that guy was a little bit older than the guys he was meeting with, mostly college age and under. Again, older men teaching younger men, older women teaching younger women, all the way down through our youth and our children. It's needed. And men, I'm going to challenge you. Wednesday nights, we still have a lot of youth and a lot of children come here that we have Awanas and we have a good setup with people here on Sunday nights. But we need men to come and invest in youth and children on Wednesday nights. We need men and women to come and help with nursery. You know, I can't sing. I sing, but you don't want to hear me sing. But here's the thing. If I were not teaching a Bible study here, I would be helping somewhere with children or in a nursery. I've done it before. I don't have a problem doing that. Maybe you say, I don't want to change diapers, but would you be able to hold one so somebody can have the free hand to change diapers when it's one or two people in there and three and four and five babies? There's a place and a need for all of us to serve, and that's part of discipleship too, as we're serving together, mentoring, building relationship. That's where it happens. It doesn't just happen in a vacuum. It happens when we're serving together.
challenge you for that. Maybe as husbands and wives, you want to come down just a moment and pray for your children and pray for your spouse. When's the last time your spouse heard you pray over them and pray for them? Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you for each one here, Lord, and thank you, Lord, for your word of challenge to each of us today. And Lord, I pray, Lord, that we would respond according to the leading of the Holy Spirit in a way that gives honor and glory to you, Lord. And as we come, Lord, making commitments, I pray, Lord, we would be faithful that our yes be yes and our no be no, or not make any commitment at all. But Lord, most importantly, Lord, that we would think about the blessing it is to be a child of God, Lord, and the opportunities we have to pour into those around us and to be poured into, and our desire for fellowship with you and with our brothers and sisters in Christ. And Lord, may you be glorified as we respond to you. We ask this in Christ's name. Amen. Would you stand?